Stay tuned, Heart of Mind Radio for the new millennium.
Answer all my prayers. I'll be waiting by the shore. Stand in a circle with loving arms around you, yeah. Come to the river where the mighty waters flow. And as the river unwinds, you'll see the turns of your life. There will be mountains to climb and valleys dark as the night and roads you have never known. Follow the answers to the questions in your soul. Down by the water where the river gates control. Ooh, 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 yeah.
Yes, and you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and the music we heard in the last few moments was Dreaming Wide Awake by Liz Wright and Come to the River by Diane Reeves. And this kind of opens up the space that I am in today, kind of a half dreamy space, not quite grasping the reality of the situation, the world we're living in right now, not because I don't see it, I do, but because I'm not embracing the narratives that are coming across the many airwaves to which we as humans living on the American continent are subjected to, particularly in the States. We get our narratives spoon-fed after they've been squeegeed and screened and dribbled. We don't really get the straight news here in this country. We're getting a narrative of propaganda, which I am concerned will lead us to global, worldwide conflict. Well, I would say that we probably are already in a global, worldwide conflict. So what happens from my perspective, I like to be informed. So I look at different sources. I very rarely look at the mainstream, because I don't consider them to be an actual source. They are, in large measure, propaganda machines. But the censorship has become so pervasive that it's difficult to find any outlets where you can get even a different perspective on things. And when we look at the so-called digital media out there in the world, the most common sources are very, very much censored. So it becomes very difficult to actually get a handle on what's truly going on in the world. And it's important. United States is an important country. But there are other big countries. There are more than one nuclear power countries. There are people in perhaps less privileged positions that are re-looking at the dynamic of power in the world and are making different decisions than they might have in the past. So what was enjoyed by the powers of the West, so-called, the United States, the Great Britain, the European Union, are very accustomed to being in power and controlling all other peoples of the world to their own benefit, I would add. And the landscape is changing. And rather than look at this new landscape and talk to people across the world, different nations, different leaders, different groups, and see what can be found in common and what perhaps we don't have in common, and begin to negotiate for the good of all humans. That doesn't appear to be happening. But I think that despite that, on our own individual levels, we can make a choice of what kind of human we choose to be in this dynamic. Are we going to be one who is fearful and convinced of the narratives being propagated? Are we going to become our own investigators, looking at what's coming from all sides? And even if we do come to a certain conclusion, a certain belief, or weigh up the evidence and come to a certain conclusion, does that mean that we should join the ranks of trolls that will begin to attack each other over our differences of opinion? I think we have to choose individually how we want to engage with each other, because ultimately how we engage with each other is going to reflect on how communities engage with each other, which is going to reflect on how countries engage with each other. I don't think we can anymore depend on the so-called leadership in many of our countries to lead, except down the primrose path, lead us into a state of conflict and war. And I'm convinced there are no angels on either side, but there is a history. And being in the U.S., I feel that I can speak to the U.S. better than I can speak to other countries. But I'm sure if citizens of each country sat down and looked at their own governments, their own history, they would find a whole list of injustice, atrocities, different things that took place in the name of that particular governmental structure. So, yeah, I think we could all find fault with ourselves, with each other. But in this moment in time, I think it's important for each individual to claim sovereignty and to decide for self what the truth is and how to engage with what's happening in our world. I mean, there was a time when it was okay to express an adverse opinion. It was a very constitutionally protected American thing to do. That appears not to be the case anymore. So this morning, I was watching the news, not on mainstream media, because it's very scant of actual information. It's more commentary. So I wanted to find the updates on what was going on in Ukraine. So Putin this morning signs treaties on accession of Donbass, Zaporizhia, Kherson to Russia. So that's four different groupings of regions, communities in Ukraine that are now considered to be part of the Russian Federation. And what was interesting in that speech is that Putin did call on negotiations and said that we're ready to negotiate, but understand these regions of Russia are now considered to be Russia, are not up for negotiations, but they want to stop the hostilities and are willing to negotiate a ceasefire, which is excellent, except that the United States, in response, as I understand it, looking at a different portal for information or so-called information, it's hard to say what's real and what's not real. But I think we can see that when you look at different sources, you can find different bits of the puzzle. And I think it was Al Jazeera that reported that the United States has given the Ukrainians and the Army of Ukraine permission to use American weapons against the newly territories of the Russian Federation, which in essence would facilitate the escalation of war between the West and the Russian Federation. So that puts us all in an interesting position. But I do think it's important to be able to listen to what other people are saying. So I'm going to share with you a broadcast, and it's from Paula Kay, and it originates in Poland. The host of this program is Polish, and I've been listening to this broadcast for a while. It's a lovely woman who also does a spiritual program in Poland, and the name of her channel is Through the Eyes Of. And this particular interview took place before the events of today in the Russian capital, or in Russia at any rate. So it was broadcast on September 29th. And I'm just going to play a little bit of it for you, and we can get a look at what's happening. So Kay is interviewing Russell Texas Bentley. He's an American living in the Donbass region and is part of the militia. So I thought it would be interesting to hear from the perspective of an American and why he chose to do what he chose to do.
Yep. We're doing okay here. Great to be back again with you, Anya. I really appreciate what you're doing to get the truth out to your listeners and your audience. It's a very honorable work. It's not easy. It can be dangerous. I mean, maybe it's even for the better that, you know, people don't see your face now, because, I mean, you understand there was a Western journalist who went to Bucha after the Ukrainians took it back from the Russians, and he told about the false flag that they created there right in front of Western journalists. And he went from Donbass, he was in Istanbul, Turkey, and he got jumped by a couple of guys with knives that tried to kill him recently. So, I mean, you know, you look at the case of Daria Dugina, who 40 days ago today was murdered by a car bomb. The daughter of Alexander Dugin. And so, you know, being a journalist in the information war is also difficult and dangerous. So my hat's off to you, and I really appreciate and respect what you're doing. You're doing a great job, Anya.
Thank you. But, you know, honestly, I don't think about it. I try not to think about it. I just feel like I have to do whatever I can. And for some reason, God wants me to do it. And I know there is protection over us, and I know there is God, and there is, you know, Archangel Michael, and there is a force of light and love that is protecting people, because otherwise, I don't know. I want to ask you first, because I know that I have some new audience, and they will be looking at the flag behind you and at the vest behind you, and they will be triggered. Okay, I know they will be triggered. So tell me. How you can explain this to someone before we go into the referendum, annexation referendum? How can you explain this to someone as an American who decided many years ago to leave the United States and be where you are?
I came to the Donetsk People's Republic in December of 2014. After seeing, you know, I was born in Texas in the year 1960. You know, I grew up in the time of Vietnam, of the civil rights movement, and just watching as things developed over the history of the last 60 some odd years. I mean, I was in the U.S. Army when Reagan invaded Grenada, the little tiny island, the Caribbean island. I was 20 years old during the first Gulf War. You know, I saw Iran get attacked. I saw the, you know, Syria being attacked. I saw the Iraq, the second Gulf War that was based on lies. I saw, you know, the attack on Syria based on lies. I saw the murder of Gaddafi and the destruction of the most prosperous country in Africa, Libya, completely destroyed, turned into a Mad Max hellhole with slave markets and the whole nine yards. And what had once been the most developed country in Africa. And then when I saw the same thing happening again in Kiev at the Maidan in early 2014, I just had enough. I said that, you know, I understood. I mean, I've always been interested in politics and history. I've always been a voracious reader. You know, when Benito Mussolini, the founder of the fascist party, once said that fascism could better be called corporatism because it is the merger of state and corporate power. And under that definition, the United States has a fascist government, you know, and that's about the nicest thing you can call it. And so, you know, I decided to stand up, put my life on the line against, you know, an empire that was destroying countries around the world. I mean, I ask all my American friends, you know, name one country that the United States has improved in any way by their invasions over the last half century or more. You know, and I also go ask them.
And we are taking a brief break from that, not wanting to play an ad.
The federal government has improved the lives of average American citizens in the last half century. And they can't. They can't answer either of those questions at all. I mean, so I'm standing up. You know, I'm a communist. This is a Soviet Union flag behind me. I served in the DPR Army for over a year. That's my bulletproof vest. I live in the city of Donetsk, which is still being bombed on a daily basis. Terrorist random mass murder attacks on civilian areas with heavy artillery that's supplied by NATO, Europe, and the USA. And so sometimes you have to wear a helmet and a vest, you know, to go to the grocery store. And that is literally no exaggeration. I mean, you know, it's not often, I mean, but you risk your life every time you go outside. And that's a fact here. That's a real fact. So, you know, I make no apologies for having fought against the puppet government that was installed by the United States in Kiev that are, you know, genuinely, you know, I'll say the N word. And it doesn't yes. mean about black people, but it's like about what the German people were 60 years or, you know, 100 years ago now, almost 80 years ago, you know. And so that's the kind of people that are in power in Kiev right now. They do exactly the bidding of their masters in Washington and Brussels. And I fought against them. I'm ready to fight against them again. I mean, the Ukrainian army military positions are 10 miles from where I'm sitting right now in the center of Donetsk. So there's still, you know, we hear shelling. It's targeted at us every day. We hear battles on the front line. And so, you know, the war still goes on here. And it didn't start, you know, with the so-called Russian invasion in February of 2022. This war started in 2014 when the Ukrainian army invaded southeastern Ukraine, the Donbass region where I am right now, and the citizens there that didn't want to live under a genuine fascist regime that was controlled by foreign powers. And they, you know, the people, you know, at first they stood up in front of these tanks and BMPs with their bare hands, and they tried to reason with these soldiers that came here. And they said, look, man, we're all in the same country. You can't, you know, you can't come here and mow us down with machine guns. And they mowed them down with machine guns. They ran over them with tanks. They bombed them with artillery and airstrikes. And so the people finally stood up and fought back. I came here and helped them. Now the Donetsk People's Republic has existed for 8 years, and tomorrow it's going to become a part of Russia. We had a referendum just in the last 4 days, and, okay. And it was overwhelmingly to join Russia.
And so that is a perspective from inside Ukraine, and there are a lot of independent reporters and participants broadcasting from Europe, from Ukraine. The broadcaster herself is in Poland, which is not a friend of Russia. But people are standing up to the misconceptions and the propaganda that's being purveyed in all of our countries. And I just think it's important to acknowledge that that's taking place. I had said Paula K, but it's Anya K. Sorry for that. And just as another look at the other side, I think that if we think about all of the censorship and the censorship of media, how can we possibly think that we're getting a balanced perspective? It's not possible. And the only way to do that is to broaden our perspective to see what's happening in the world. And so I went to Russia Today, which is certainly a media company that was widely available until the sanctions took over everyone's mind. And the headlines are, Russia calls on Kiev to return to negotiation. Ukrainian shelling of refugee convoy leaves 24 people dead. Key Donbass city half encircled by Ukraine. Unidentified drones spotted before Nord Stream blasts. EU approves emergency measures to curb prices. And it goes on. WHO sounds alarm over cholera outbreak. Right-wingers score wins in the EU as Brussels hints at consequences. U.S. Congress approves military financing for Poland. U.S. to recognize two Pacific nations. Olympic bosses set to intervene after Ukraine boxing ban. So that's just some of the headlines coming out of the Russian media. And I think it's important to know what's being said around the world. It's a way that we can balance what we're not hearing from our own media. I'm not saying it's correct or that it has everything correct, but I think that it's a real travesty to ban our access to information. And I'm very much troubled by the promotion of Russophobia. It's not so different from the kind of racism that we have seen in this country. I'm not pleased with the way that countries have been exploited by the system that we have here in our country. So I'm paying attention. And one might say, well, why is there this conversation taking place on a program that's about consciousness, spirituality, and health? Well, having a bomb dropped would be an extreme challenge to a being's health. Having your mind manipulated is definitely detrimental to a person's health. And the disconnect from one's own soul and innate intelligence, the propagation of a loss of compassion and caring and understanding across borders, across peoples, that's detrimental to our health and well-being, I would say. So in that regard, I'm not advocating that people obsess with these things. I do. I'm a news hound. But I'm not suggesting that anybody else does that. I'm suggesting that maybe, just maybe, we could think about it. We could really think about it. And think about how all of this is impacting our lives, how all this attention to manipulation and lies impact our sense of beingness, our sense of wholeness, and just coming to the understanding that we really need to reach deep within ourselves to connect with our deepest wisdom and as much as possible reach out to each other in a true sense of humanity, reaching across borders and reaching across lies.
Yeah.
That was Michael Franti and Spearhead. I know I'm not alone. And I'm just looking at the big picture here, and I don't know what people might think as a result of watching the mainstream narrative, but I hate to break it to folks that Ukraine is really losing the war badly. I'm not saying they don't have skirmishes back and forth, but the amount of losses is, I would consider, to be catastrophic. I'm seeing reports of 100 to 200 people, soldiers, frontline soldiers on the Ukrainian side being put down every day. That's a lot of people. And the Ukrainians have had like 7 rounds of enlistment, taking people to the front line. Now they're talking about drafting women into the front line. Women can no longer leave the country. So they're making a lot of sacrifices on behalf of the Western powers. But it seems to me that all of our support to Ukraine is hurting Ukrainian people much more than it's helping them. And I'm seeing, based on these reports, of Poland now getting a pipeline. You might have seen that new pipeline from Finland, I think, to Poland. And Biden announcing that we're now going to start economically supporting Poland. So it looks like Poland may be in line to be the next proxy in the war with the Russian Federation. But why? I don't understand the cause. Russia is not a communist country. Russia is a capitalist country, just like the United States and Great Britain. So it isn't that. But unless people's minds are stuck in the past and they just are obsessed with their hatred of Russian people, when I find that to be as obnoxious as hating black people or hating any other kind of people based on who they are. It's hideous. And when it happens on the state level, it can be considered somewhat criminal. But that's my vantage point. And if you have a mind to join the conversation, you're welcome to join me. If you have a thought about what we've been speaking, and it may very well be that you disagree with what I have to say, that's okay. But we have to have and provide the right for each of us to say, as long as we're not bringing harm. Hello, you're on the air. Okay, you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. Go ahead.
Yes, greetings to the beloved community. I missed the first few minutes, but I think I have some of the general, and I heard the clip you played. A couple thoughts. What's happening in this country now is such a complex situation, because I think the term crypto-fascism really defines it, because that crypto part, that just many just can't see where we are right now. But I wanted to bring up one point that's interesting, is that the far right, the alt right, the white supremacists, however you described them, the nut jobs have lost their minds, the improprieties. Do you remember those T-shirts that they had early on when they were campaigning for the S-hole mouth, as it were, where they said, "We'd rather be Russians than Democrats"?
I don't remember that, yeah.
Yeah, well, would that actually happen? And, of course, there was a contingent that went off to Russia and you know, working with that lady that wound up being indicted as a spy. But enjoying the program, looking forward to how you connect with the callers. Catherine, that is so important that you open up the phone lines and you give us the model of how we want to hear from the community. I'm just getting going here and waking up, so I'll continue to listen. But crypto fascism, criminals in charge, no ands, buts, and ifs. And thank you for keeping our community, for bringing those voices to the air always. That's just so crucial and important. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you very much. And hello, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Steve back in Malibu, California. Great show, Catherine. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I was listening to the Jimmy Dore show earlier today, and initially he did about 9 minutes of comedy. I didn't get the comedy with a lot of laughing. And then he got serious, and I was really surprised at the quality of the content, because he was actually exploring, you know, even laterally, some of the issues. And all I can say is stay neutral on many of these issues, because what appears to be happening many times is simply, it's kind of like a game, kind of like War and Peace, where at the end of War and Peace, Leo Tolstoy, and just a little background, I read War and Peace when I was 6 years old. The only thing that made sense to me was the epilogue. And he mentions the word power about 1,000 times, and he never really gets to telling you what's going on, because he's an insider. That's who Leo Tolstoy is. But what we're seeing in Ukraine, for example, and Russia, these are two people who are related, and they are essentially given a chess piece on a simple chessboard, and they are told to do this, to do that. It's very interesting. I can't say much about it, but people are actually dying, and sometimes it's from the same side, and they're not going to report that.
They are doing what
they're told to do, and they're very nice people otherwise. And it's very interesting that Jimmy Dore brings up that, 100,000 or so are exiting Russia. I would be exiting, Malibu if something were happening, and who knows where so-called Putin is going next. Is it New York City? Very interesting. So thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And bringing up, stay neutral. Don't get involved in it. Once somebody commits to a decision, they're going to find out later, maybe that wasn't the what was really going on. It's really hard to tell. Like Leo Tolstoy dances around power in the epilogues. He devotes many chapters to where does power come from, who does it, etc.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I really do. But when you're in an environment that narrows your vantage point, it's a problem. And that's really what I'm speaking to.
Absolutely.
The fact that we don't have a full spectrum of information, yet we are expected to follow the leader in their causes without knowing the truth. So that's really what I'm speaking to.
I think in both all of the scriptures, it says at the end, you're going to hear, "Well done, my servants." And keep that in mind. That's where we're heading, all of us who realize this is going on. Thank you so much again.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio.
I am? I can hardly hear myself.
Well, you speak up, turn off your radio, and we can hear you. And this is Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium. Hello? You still have the radio on. I'm going to have to put you on hold, and we'll try next time. Let's try someone else. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're live on the radio.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for your calm and sensitive sharings. This is imperial excess. Obviously, the U.S. is concerned about maintaining its power globally, and they see Russia's vast resources as something that they coveted, and they seek to disrupt Russia and get rid of Putin in order to have access, which they thought they had after the fall of the Berlin Wall. But they got kicked out by Putin, and he preferred local gangsters to divide the spoils. But basically, it's neo-barbarism, so-called civilization. You know, all the international agencies and confederations, they're worthless. They just further the destruction of the planet, the meat grinder of commerce and profit. I mean, it's sad. Human beings are sad creatures, and the distinction that we're headed to, we've earned and we deserve it. Sorry.
Thank you. I'm going to take the next caller. Thank you for your contribution. Hello, yeah. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Please speak up.
Good show, good topic. We are being lied to, and so are the Ukrainians, and so are the Russians, by the same people that are fighting over the gas and the oil all over the world. We're letting a few trillionaires rule the world as usual. It's not going to end well for the masses. I don't think it's going to end well for the trillionaires either. But if we allow these people to just run away with all this money, they get all that power that goes with the money to control all you all us monkeys that are running around for money. You know what I mean? We've been taught to fight each other, and we're competing against each other while these people are just taking away all our money and, you know, and just screwing us over. I mean, it's really crazy.
Yes, thank you. You know, sometimes we just have to call it out, name it for what it is, and it helps a little bit. Thank you. Bye now.
All right.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Catherine. It's Russell.
Hi, Russell.
Hi. It is such a comfort to know that we're not alone when you speak. And I just want to tell Maya that she gets it wrong when she talks about crypto-fascists. The real crypto-fascists are the woke people, the Democrats and the rhinos who tell us that Trump is the devil and that by any means necessary we need to keep him out of office. They did it with the pandemic. Catherine, do you think they're starting World War III to pull like an FDR trick? Thank you.
It's a good question. I don't know. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're live on the radio.
Hi, you know, I just heard Russell, and I know Maya. I'm in the street right now. I had to walk inside someplace that's quiet. But there was somebody who said, we must be concerned about maintaining our power. And I think that that's the essence of what we must be concerned about. Because that will be a way for the 99% to express themselves. What I'm noticing that we are looking and listening to information that's outside of ourselves. And the majority of the information is inaccurate. We already know that. We know that the information that is being distributed is not accurate. So what we're going to have to focus on now is maintaining the power and be concerned about maintaining the power within our own selves. We're going to have to start to listen to what our inner self tells us to do. We also need to have a seeking spirit, to find some sort of teaching that has existed well before us for many, many generations of living beings and has been able to consistently be propagated, because it indicates that there's some element of truth that many human beings have found to be true. A lot of times, you know, I am a Buddhist. I talk about that. I wouldn't say that any other religious teaching, you know, I'm not going to defile any other religious teaching, but I think that one of the ways to go into yourself and gain your power, to be able to decide what's right and wrong from the inside out, is in some religious teachings, because it's been propagated for many, many centuries. And because it's been propagated and followed, there's some element of truth. And even that now, religious teachings are defiled. And it is very important for us to start to become concerned about gaining empowerment within and having a seeking spirit.
I agree with you 100%, of course, what you're sharing.
Just one more thing. It's important
we're running out of time.
Out there in the environment. Don't just go in, but go out and reach out to people. And our compassion for each other will start a true dialogue. Thank you for opening the line so we can start that dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
If I face somebody who's white, black, Chinese, gay, straight, when we face each other and we start to try to connect, we're going to be able to hear the truth and the true power that we have. So get outside, people, enjoy the sun, and then go inside and enjoy your inner spirit as well, and start to try to build your muscles from the inside out.
Excellent.
Okay,
thank
peace.
You. No, absolutely, absolutely. And we don't have but a minute left, so we'll try to take a call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. Hello.
Yes.
Kathy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Very quickly, though.
I just wanted to thank you so much for bringing your point of view today, and it's shared by many, many others. I found such a narrow point of view when it comes to this war, and such a decided point of view that it sounds more like propaganda often from other people. And so I just wanted to say that, as you can see, the floodgates are opening. Lots of people have opinions about this, and our opinions are being kept out all the time in favor of a pro-war point of view against Russia. And I think that most of the time, we're not talking about the entire story. Very, very seldom do I hear why Russia is attacking Ukraine. It's because we, NATO, have our weapons covering their entire border. Ukraine was just the last straw, and that is not fair and that is not right. And if that happened to us in the United States, if they put their weapons on the border of Florida or on the border of Canada, we would be more than upset. We'd be at war already as well. So I just wanted to thank you, and I hope that the producers of the station are all listening. Many, many people are calling in because many, many people have this point of view, and we'd like to have it expressed.
And
so thank you very much
in support of Heart of Mind. That is really how to get the message across that we want to have a free expression, mind, body, spirit, health. And, you know, our health is contained within our politics. So please do stay tuned.
Let the beauty we love be what we do. Don't go back to sleep.